You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name is Clint Clifton, and today I am joined by John Ames. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Clint?
Great. Thanks so much for being here today. John's the director of the Send Relief Boston Ministry Center in Boston, Massachusetts, and he's an adjunct instructor over at Midwestern Seminary. He and his wife, Jenny, have two children, and got a pretty extensive background in community ministries.
Yeah. I mean, by God's grace, we've been able to do a lot of fun things and a lot of different places. And, you know, I mean, so many wonderful neighborhoods in New England, and it's just been a privilege to serve in all of them. So,
yeah. So just give us a quick overview. I know I just kind of gave your bio, but what's a quick overview of some of the things that you've done in ministry?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial type of, you know, bend to me. So got involved in church planting in Boston and right outside of Boston first season. And then started to really engage in the urban ministry environment within the city. And so started doing a lot of urban ministry, and that led me into some community development work and some of the under-resourced communities in the Boston area. And then that's where the Lord really, you know, put it upon my wife's heart and my heart to move to Providence, Rhode Island, just about an hour south, and engage some of those under-resourced communities and see some church plants started down there. And so that was the last 7 years of our lives before the Send Relief Center started. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. By God's grace, got to see a couple churches started in a couple different neighborhoods and work with a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures. So that's kind of been my experience, is, you know, a lot of cross-cultural ministry, a lot of ministry that, you know, kind of relates to community development, which, you know, as I think about kind of my background, my parents were missionaries in West Africa. Yeah. And so I grew up overseas. I grew up in a very cross-cultural environment, a very international setting. And so it was really kind of cool to see how God prepared me for all that ministry. Wow. Way before I was even thinking about it. Yeah. He always does that.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's faithful to put us in situations that seem illogical at the time, mm-hmm. But then later they make perfect sense. Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool to hear. So today we're going to talk about seasonal community outreach. And this isn't really something that I've talked about very much or even been a party to conversations about this very much, but it's a real practical component to the ministry of a church planner, mm-hmm. that you start to realize pretty quickly that when it comes to reaching out to your community, you sort of have to invent excuses sometimes. And holidays make great excuses for engagement with people in the community, because there's not a whole lot that everybody in your community kind of agrees on. And holidays is one of those things that people agree on. The school calendar cooperates with it. And I mean, there's so much that happens altogether. Even something like Christmas or the holiday season, even people who aren't Christians, they recognize that season.
That's right.
Of time.
Yeah.
And so today I wanted to talk a little bit about how we can capitalize on those times, how we can leverage those times for connecting with people in our community. Now, statistically speaking, in the U.S., people are a lot more likely to go to church or at least to be introspective about spiritual things around holidays. Mm-hmm. How can a pastor who's being shrewd about that, how can he leverage holidays for gospel impact from your point of view?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it starts by, you know, really listening and engaging your community. When you start to listen to your community, engage your community, you start to hear that, you know, all those values are already in play, right? So you've got just the value of generosity. You know, people are very excited during, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas time, the idea of just pouring out, you know, their whatever they might have in terms of resources to others. Mm-hmm. You also just have this, you know, this kind of value that you uncover, and it's, you know, woven through all of the media that's put out around that time. But this value that people are entitled to compassion and kindness, during that time, right? And so if everyone is entitled to that, then everyone wants to get on board and make sure that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about, you know, even like, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, or some of the other holidays, holiday lunches or meals that happen around that time, you know, people are very open to the idea of welcoming strangers into their homes, right? And saying, okay, let's make strangers into neighbors or into family members. Everyone kind of deserves a family meal, right, at that time. So there's this idea that this is kind of what we do. And this is the one time a year that we're kind of gonna get outside of our normal kind of nuclear family or get outside of our normal routine. And so because that's already in the air, when you start listening to your community, start hearing that expressed from people, then you can, you know, based on what they're saying, you can just jump right off into these different ideas that you have ready to go. You know, well, you know, based on this, how about we try this? Or what do you think if we were to offer this at the church? Or what do you think if we were to offer this in the community? So it starts with listening, and then you kind of, when people express it themselves, then you just capitalize on that and leverage that.
Yeah. So I think when I first started church planting, when it came to community outreach, there were two things that I thought that, I don't know where I got these thoughts from, that over time I changed my thinking on them. The one was that novelty was really, really important, that I needed to come up with something nobody had ever come up with before. I needed to do something like super interesting. I imagine somebody picking up the flyer from a thing I'm promoting and going, wow, that sounds amazing. I've never even heard of that. Mm-hmm. And somehow in my mind, that meant it would be effective or well attended. So that was one of the things that, like, novelty was super important. And the other was that I needed to own that thing 100%, meaning I couldn't have any partners in it. Mm-hmm. It's not like I could partner with my city or with the school, but I needed to own it, because how could I really leverage it for gospel impact if I was, you know, trying to do it in partnership with an organization that didn't have gospel impact as a goal. Mm-hmm. So over time now, you know, almost 20 years into church planting, I don't think that way at all. I think I almost won't do an event if I don't have a community partner. And I also think novelty is not nearly as important as I thought it once was. I think maybe the opposite. I'm a bit suspect of things that feel novel and new. How do you think about those two things? Do you have a similar journey there?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is, you know, as someone who starts something new, you get really excited and you get all these ideas that pop in your mind. I remember going to a church planting training and hearing someone describe one of the ideas they had. They planted a church and they sent out all these cards that said on the front of it, you know, I'd go to church if there was bacon. And then you flip the card over and it said, Bacon Sunday, this day, you know, and so kind of this creative way to get people to come to church. And so they had all these, you know, grills out front that Sunday, and they were cooking up a bunch of bacon, and it was one way that they were able to get people into the for the service. And so I remember hearing that and being like, oh man, I want to come up with ideas like that, you know. So I mean, I think that's perfectly normal to come in with that posture at the beginning. But I think you're right. You know, as time goes on, you develop, you know, just through experiences, the benefit of working with partners, the benefit of entering into the community and engaging the systems that are already at play. You know, I really like just kind of returning to that, you know, kind of that theological understanding that, you know, there's the Missio Dei at play, right? There's the mission of God. God is already on mission where you're going. He's been there for a long time. He's been, you know, and so your goal is not to come in there and create something new that's going to all of a sudden bring God to them, right? That your goal is to find out where God is already at work in the community and what he's already kind of got started. And I found, you know, especially around the holidays, when I would engage with the community centers and the schools, and I would engage with, you know, different nonprofits, even other churches, you know, even if they weren't the same, you know, kind of flavor as us or you know, the same denomination as us, what I found is that God had primed people ready to go. You know, I mean, you found teachers who had been praying for churches to get involved. You found, you know, people working in different, you know, community organizations who are believers from other churches who, you know, were so excited and ready to open the doors wide. And, you know, and honestly, when you do, when you take that approach, you earn a lot more respect a lot quicker in the community, and you're able to go a lot further. And that's where actual deep relational, you know, conversation happens, which is what you're after anyways, right? You, gimmicks and things like that can get gather a crowd, but they don't necessarily give you the outcome that you desire.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. Yeah, I have a friend who regularly says what you win them with is what you win them to. And, you know, it's sort of, if we win people in with gimmicks, you know, we got to kind of maintain them with gimmicks. And that's not where we want to go. And so I've never really met a church planner who says, yeah, I really want to do the bait and switch. Yet sometimes we end up doing that because we get desperate. And so that's a great point you brought up there. So most of us are probably familiar with or even skeptical of initiatives that look like outreach and charity, but they really in the end end up doing more harm than good. Right. You've done so much of this. I wonder, are there some sort of diagnostic questions that you've developed or you think of that we should be asking ourselves about outreach events that could help us avoid hurting the reputation of the gospel, yeah, hurting ourselves, hurting our churches, our ministries, and even those we're trying to help?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, all of us, you know, fall into the trap very easily of wanting to get the Instagram photo or, you know, be able to put something in the newsletter back to our partners where, look at what we did. But I think if we stop and, you know, kind of seek the Lord on it, a much more humble approach is asking, you know, is something already happening in the community like this? Right. And so you kind of have to take an inventory of the community and kind of the community calendar. And, you know, I really like an asset based approach. Right. So looking at your community and saying, OK, who are the assets in the community? And when you start to engage with the kind of the community leaders, when you start to ask, what are the assets, you know, getting beyond people, but getting to, you know, organizations and other structures and systems, you start to see that they've got a lot of this stuff that they've been doing for a long time, or they have these dreams of wanting to do things. And so when you ask what's happening in the community, that's a great first question and kind of helps you start to navigate how you should engage, right? And it doesn't mean that you can't start some things. I think for sure there are certain things, certain gaps where it's helpful for you to provide something that's going to be a blessing to the community. And in a lot of these communities where we're all wanting to plant churches, there is an absence of light, you know, and so it's helpful to provide things that do glorify God and bring light into certain spaces. But I think asking the question, you know, what's already happening in the community? I think also asking the question is what I'm doing, building relationships, right? Kind of back to our question before, and I love how you quoted Jared Wilson. I'm assuming you quoted Jared Wilson because I love that quote too. You know, is what I'm doing, is it a gimmick? Is it something that's consumer driven? Is it something that's, you know, it's going to lead down the wrong path? Or is this something, you know, that is going to press into actual, true engagement, transformational conversation, right? You know, ways that are going to build people up and I love how Tim Keller is always saying, you got to find out the questions that your community is asking, right? And you got to discover the language of your community. And you never get to that place if all you do is do giveaways or do gimmicks. But if you stop and ask the question, is what I'm doing building relationships, those conversations just flow organically. And so I think if there's one third question that I would say you could ask in addition to all this is, how is this action that I'm wanting to do, this event that I'm wanting to put on or whatever it might be, how is this affirming the dignity of the person that I'm serving, right? Because sometimes we can get all excited about something we're going to do and you put it on, but we don't ever think about the person we're serving. We just think about us and how it's going to make us feel and, you know, what our partners are going to think, and maybe they'll give more money. But we don't ever stop and think, okay, is this person walking away from this experience feeling less, you know, less important and less valuable? And so, I mean, simple things like that, right? So if you want parents to come and get, you want to do a toy giveaway, right? Having parents come and do it absent of their children, right? So set up kind of a little market where they can come and shop through, but you provide childcare in another location where, you know, the kids don't have to come with the parents to see the parents picking up the toys. That allows the parents to pack it up. They can even wrap it themselves, or they take it home. And then it's like the kid sees this as a gift from their parents. their parents receiving, and which can, you know, provide some shame to the parents if it's the other way around. So it's just little things like that. Those are some of the questions I would say. But
that's huge. That's huge. That's a that was a great example too. So there's, I'm thinking about two things when I think about outreach. I'm thinking about engagement and personal contact. Personal contact is what you've been focusing on, what you were talking about. But I also think there's a value in general engagement or large scale engagement. What I'm talking about is like, if we go 5 or 10 years as a church in our community, and at the end of that 5 or 10 years, the majority of people in our community have never heard of our church, but we've done a lot of small, very personal interactions that have been meaningful and substantive, but we still lost something. So there, in a sense, there has to be both of those, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think what you're saying is, you know, we probably in all of our church planting classes, or for those people who've been through church planting trainings, you've heard the question, you know, if you leave your community and your church, you know, it doesn't miss you at all, or it doesn't even know that you left, then that's a big issue, right? And so I think like that's, we're always challenged with that in kind of our church planting cohorts and group meetings and things like that. And I think that that's really important. What we would do at the previous church plant that I was a part of is we would embrace what you're talking about, these opportunities to just be God glorifying, you know, kind of being a God glorifying lighthouse, right? Shining a light into the community. And it may not yield anybody coming into relationship with us, but it's an opportunity for us to display who God is through our actions, right? And so we would do at Thanksgiving a big, we would call it bags of love. And we would, you know, pack all these bags and we would fill it with a Thanksgiving meal, everything needed for a Thanksgiving meal. And then we'd get these turkeys, and we do, you know, well over 100 of these. And we, you know, just invite people to come to the community, come to the church, you know, they could sign up in the month ahead, and come get their stuff. And then we'd invite them to a big dinner, a community dinner that would happen the day after at the church. And, you know, and every year we'd see the same people come just for their turkey and their meal bag, and then come for the community dinner. But we would, you know, it never really progressed for some of those people, for most, a lot of those people, to a place where we got into deep discipleship or deep type of relationship. And that was okay, because in that moment, the community knew this church cares about us, cares about the neighborhood. This church, you know, is making me ask the question, why? why are they like this? Why are they doing this? You know, if it's not yielding some type of other result, right? And that's where we're able to point them to Jesus, right? And point them the reality of the God that we serve. And so I think what you're saying is absolutely right. So I do think you want to have that balance. And, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times a year saying, okay, here are the events that are community strengthening, that are God glorifying, and we don't care necessarily if it is going to produce the relational result that we're always pushing for the rest of the year. These are our lighthouse moments.
Yeah, that's great. I also think there are some events that are one, some that are the other, and then there are those rare events that or initiatives that actually hit both targets. I remember early on in our church planting journey, and actually even to this day, we became known in our community for being the church that shows movies out on the lawn. So we like rent the big inflatable screen and show the movies out on the lawn. And, you know, you go, it's a bit of a lift. You got to go and get a license from Disney or whatever to show the movie and show the movie. And we started off thinking, oh, this is really about us getting to share the gospel with the crowd. Mm-hmm. And we realized pretty quickly that sharing the gospel with the crowd in front of the crowd feels to a lot of people like a bait and switch. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that was harming our reputation. So, but people liked the movies. So, so we continued to show the movies, and we realized that, hey, that blanket time, you know, where we're sitting on the blanket, kind of waiting on the movie to get started as it's becoming dusk, is a really golden opportunity for, you know, church members to sit and engage people and have conversations with them. And so we were able to just think about it a little differently, rather than it's a preacher up front with a microphone. It was an opportunity for our people to sit next to a stranger and begin to engage them in conversation. So we started equipping around that and saw more fruit come from that than we had from the previous. And I think also no harm to our reputation. So some of it's just, you know, taking an event that's already happening and looking for ways to make it more personal by leveraging your members.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you can pivot those events and you can really focus in on trying to, you know, release everybody on mission in those times, but do it in a good way where they don't have the track in their back pocket. Right. You know, just trying to love people and engage with people and listen to people and build those relationships. I think that's tremendous. But I think what needs to happen in those moments is kind of what you said. Like you gotta equip your people so that when they come to the movie, they're not expecting the preacher to get up and do the gospel call or something like that. But they realize that they're there to engage people, to be involved. And I think those types of things are great. You know, and a lot of communities, there's not that outdoor movie type thing going on a lot. And so churches have really brought that back. We have, there's a church up here in Boston that did it for like 7 to 8 years, you know, in a row. And then all of a sudden the other nonprofits in the area said, well, we should get in on this. And so now they do it. And so the church just kind of partners with them. And it's, but it was something that for a long time there was that gap. And so I think things like that are absolutely, they're needed in the community. They pull people together. They're fun family events. And that goes back to kind of what we said at the beginning, right? Like some of the values during the holidays are family. And so when you provide events like that, that pull people in and engage that shared common interest, you know, I think that you're already a step ahead.
Yeah, that's great. John, thanks so much. I appreciate your work at the Send Relief Ministry Center in Boston, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about this today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.
I'm Trevin Wax, and I have a new podcast called Reconstructing Faith. In it, we address the church's credibility crisis, reflecting on the challenges of today while learning from church history and the church around the world. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts.